Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. Phenomenal show today with Ian Eagle from CBS Sports, TNT. Calls NBA and NFL games. Ian for an hour on the pod was absolutely tremendous. So many funny stories and interesting thoughts on, you know, there's two big jobs out there that Ian could be in the mix for. The lead play-by-play voice for Turner, NBA, obviously, and then Thursday Night Football on Amazon. So we asked Ian about whether he wants those jobs, whether he'd take those jobs, and how they could fit in with his schedule. He also does games locally in New York, calling the Brooklyn Nets. He shares a great Tom Brady story, some great Bill Raftery stories. So I'm overusing the word great, but that's what Ian was. He was great on this podcast. So you will enjoy it. And then following Ian, Sal Licata joins me for our weekly Train of Thought segment. Get into some news with the NFL. Fox announcers Gus Johnson back doing some games. Netflix has a documentary coming up on Malice at the Palace. Hard Knocks trailer dropped. So I discuss all that with Sal. If you missed any recent episodes right now, before we get to Ian and Train of Thoughts, just make sure you catch up in the archives. Great episode last week with Brian Curtis of The Ringer. Lindsay Zarniak 2 weeks ago. Andrew Marchand 3 weeks ago. Sean McDonough 4 weeks ago. If you missed any of those, check them out. And if anybody can leave a review, that would help me. Listen to Ian and then leave the review. If you listen to Ian and you enjoy it, leave a review on Apple. It helps a lot. We're trying to get some new reviews there. We have a lot there, but we haven't had a ton recently. So if you can give a review and you don't even have to praise me. You could praise just the guests. That's fine. That would help tremendously. And subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. Okay, here we go. Enough rambling by me, Ian Eagle, followed by Train of Thoughts right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, one of the best guys out there. Appreciate him coming on. Entertaining and a tremendous play-by-play man, Ian Eagle. Ian, how are you?
Jimmy, great to be with you. I think there were years where David Letterman just had guests on reserve just in case. So Marv Albert and Regis Philbin were go-tos. If somebody canceled on Letterman, Marv would come on and automatically, the wild and the wacky. Or if Regis came on, I was at Peter Lugas last night. So there would be some, and that was it. That would fill a song. I feel like I've moved into the Marv Regis category with you.
Well, no, that's not true. I always want to have you. I would have you on all the time, but you're busy with, I mean, you have 87 jobs, so I don't want to harass you. But for the listeners out there, I had teased on Twitter a couple of times that Chris Mad Dog Russo, who Ian used to be a producer for at WFAN in New York, was supposed to be on this week because he has a podcast he wanted to promote. And then dog canceled, legit, you know, legit. It wasn't anything nefarious. He gave me ample time, canceled earlier in the week. And I said, who can I have on this week to fill in on short notice? And I went to Ian, and he was nice enough to say yes. And he's filling in for the Mad Dog, which is pretty good.
Yeah. The scheduling scenario did not work out for me. there's certain words with Russo that he leans on. And I know, Jimmy, to this day, you're still a loyal listener. That's one of the words that always got me with Chris. If he was ever in a pickle, and I think pickle is also a word he would use, but if he was ever in a pickle with whatever word was supposed to come next, in a he would just go with scenario, and that would just cover so many different possibilities to end a sentence.
So it's funny. I've had this thought in my head now for a few weeks, and I need to do it soon because once football starts, all bets are off. But I'm going to listen to his whole show one day and sort of like live blog it. I'm not going to post it live, but I'll do it as like a SI.com story. Yeah. Because it's interesting. There are people who, I know athletes who get offended when he says names wrong. And I've tried to actually say to those athletes, like, he pronounces literally every word wrong and every name. So you can't be offended. And he must say scenario in a 3-hour show, maybe 50 to 100 times.
Yeah.
Everything. The COVID scenario is when he says the COVID scenario, that is what I.
And it covers so much terrain, just that one word.
Yes.
Fanny, that's another big one, instead of butt or ass. And look, you can knock him in the fanny and get him. So there are certain words that just click with him. I drove with him to the city for one full year of my life. When I was working on that show and I was living in the city and he was living in the city. So I drove him back from work on a daily basis. And obviously we would get into deeper topics than just sports topics. And I quickly realized after like the second or third month, things that I would tell him in the car that might be personal would end up on the air. That was my first real experience with the idea that a talk show host would use your everyday stuff if he needs it in a moment or in a pickle. So, I would mention, my wife has this family thing I want no part of. I don't want to go to this thing. And then literally later that week, you'd say, well, as we know, Ian wants no part of his nephew's graduation ceremony. Like,
Shout it out to millions and millions of people. Yes.
The whole graduation scenario is not working for Ian.
You were on with him, I think, during the tournament, and I listened to it because I texted you because I think he told some story about him telling you not to give him a Xanax if he was in some high anxiety situation. And then he went to you for the Xanax. But during your interview with him on Sirius, he kept calling it Zantac.
Exactly right. Medication for issues that he had been having with sneezing.
Claustrophobia.
No. It wasn't as deep as that. No. It was just pollen, really.
Yeah.
And he didn't like how it made him feel. So he would tell me, hey, do not let me take that. And then finally he came back to me. But then he added to the story by saying he told a buddy of his not to give me the Xanax. And he called it Zantac or whatever for stomach.
Right.
Yes. Right. No, he's got a lot of malaprops. They're all very entertaining.
He is
his own guy. We know that.
The quote yesterday that killed me, and then we'll move on, is he said that the pandemic was, quote, still bouncing around, end quote, thanks to the variant. Who would ever describe a pandemic as bouncing around? It's the perfect
summation. Simple way of putting it, but also very, very descriptive. But and a dog would get completely enthralled by my travels. He was a human OAG. Remember before the internet, there was this thing called the OAG, where if you subscribe to it, it had every flight in America in this pamphlet. And he had it, and he didn't even fly that often. And I would say, why? He goes, I like the travel. I like the airlines, the time. And he would reach out to me when I first started doing NFL. He'd say, are you taking the 825 Embraer out of Kansas City to get out? I'm like, yes. why would you know this, man? And he just had weird knowledge.
Like unbelievable. That's so great. Is this a little downtime for you? Because as we know, you do the NBA on TNT and you have the Nets during the regular season.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, NFL on CBS. So is this a little break for the Birdman, or do you still have some things going on in these next 2 to 3 weeks?
No, it's been a break, Jimmy. I've had a good time off. We went away. I've done some day drinking, which does not take place normally during my everyday life from September through the end of May. It's rare that I drink at all over the course of the season, but then I go the other way during the off season. I think I try to pack as much in as possible and then turn the switch off when the season gets underway. So yeah, it's been some quality downtime.
Your old partner, Bill Rafter, he would be proud to hear that.
Oh, sure. I've been out with him a number of times. I have seen him on four or five occasions, and I think he likes this version of me better. Like, hey, have a little wine, Birdie. Yeah, he's doing great. He's feeling great.
It's amazing.
He's amazing. He is a freak of nature. They're gonna study him for science.
For sure.
One day.
And we'll get into some professional things, but we're keeping it light right now. I had Sean McDonough on the podcast recently in the last month, and he told a phenomenal Raf story about, which I you've probably had this experience as the same as Sean, but Sean said they were on the road doing, I think he said they were doing a Notre Dame game. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, for a big Monday. And when it was over, they go to the airport to get the rental cars. And Raf is looking around for the car and he can't find it. And this is going on for several minutes. And McDonough finally says to him, did you by any chance go out drinking the other night and leave the car there? Because you didn't want to drive after you had a few pops. Right. And Rafter, oh, yeah, that's what happened to the car.
Yeah, I have one that always goes back into my thought process with him. There's so many. And yes, I have heard that story. And I've heard Bill's version of that story, which basically mirrors Sean's version. But who would know? I forgot about it. He was doing the Nets and ESPN, and he was crisscrossing the country. And he ends up doing a game with me in San Francisco. But he flew in the day of, and he had done a Wake Forest game the day before. He really had no right to do both, but he just was packing it in, and he gets there and he's working on no sleep. And he ends up, I think I've told you parts of this story, where he ends up in Mike O'Korn, the radio analyst's room. Mike had already checked out just to do some notes on his bed. I wake him up, the whole nine yards. So we eventually get to the game and we're now doing the first segment of the pregame. And I lead into him in regards to the Nets, Derek Coleman going against the Warriors. And Raf looks at me and he just starts singing. I said, here at the City by the Bay. And he says, sitting at the dock of the bay. And he's now going to go into the second verse. And the producer hits my earpiece, says, does he have any idea we're on the air? And I'm like, I don't know. And they roll the Coleman clip and he starts doing it. And he does it flawlessly. And we get to break. And I toss back to the studio and he looks at me, he says, good rehearsal. I said, no. That just aired on television, Bill. He's like, what? He had no idea. He truly, and he said, well, how was it? I said, you were great. You did great, buddy.
Those of us who make a living based on content on the internet, we would pay money for that video. We would pay money for that video. I would love to see that.
It's like 1995.
Yeah. Well, so you said Derek Coleman's. Yeah, sure. I remember those days. So let's get into a couple of sports media broadcasting things. Yeah. And I want to have some fun with your food issues because it's amazing that this becomes a big thing every time. So.
Yeah,
but I got. But, you know, listen, if someone is talking to Ian Eagle like I am, Marv just retired. So naturally, there is a lead position open at TNT. I would assume you would want that lead position.
Yeah, I think the way these jobs work is they don't come around all that often. So when something opens up and you think you might be a good fit. Of course, it crosses your mind, but you also recognize there are other people that feel the same way. And I think with Turner, they're in a really advantageous position. They've got a lot of great broadcasters in their stable, and how it all plays out, what the pairings look like. You know, I'm not even sure they're necessarily going to say, this is our A crew, this is our B crew. They might keep it loose and pair up different guys during the season. My goal is to continue and keep working for them and do big NBA games when those are available to me. As far as the spot, I don't know how all of it's going to play out. I do know that they're great people over there, and it's been a really nice working relationship the last number of years. I've actually been there a long time because it was such a part-time basis where they needed me for a playoff series, and the Nets just weren't making the playoffs. So I ended up with them for an extended period, a lot longer than you would think, until you actually look at it on paper and went, oh my goodness, I've been doing playoff games for them in some capacity since 09 or 2010. I was a sideline reporter for them back in 1996.
Wow, I have no recollection of that. That's
Kevin
wild.
Harlan doing play-by-play. Yeah. Dick Versace was the analyst, and I was the sideline reporter for San Antonio, Phoenix. I remember vividly interviewing Cotton Fitzsimmons of the Phoenix Suns. Doc Rivers was playing for the Spurs. I did a pregame hit before the tip with Doc. Wow. Charles Barkley was on that team. It was really the end of the Suns' run at that point. And that was my first assignment for TNT, 1996, incredibly enough.
I was wondering, though, do the other jobs impact whether you can get the lead job for TNT? Only because you have the Nets, obviously, locally on YES here in New York, and then the NFL, which I would assume is priority over everything, especially as with the number two crew. You got a playoff game and all that stuff. Yep. So would there be any issues if TNT wanted you to take that job?
Yeah, you would have to look at it as a jigsaw puzzle, and that's how I've tried to look at this all through the years. How do you get the pieces to fit together, especially when you're juggling a number of balls in the air? So for me, I've been incredibly fortunate that I've had all these opportunities, but I've also been able to maintain them because I figure out how to make it work scheduling-wise, and I don't make it a problem for any of those companies. I don't go to one of those networks and say, hey, by the way, I got this, so count me out. I try to make myself available. It could affect it just based on there are only so many days in the year and there are only so many events that you can cover. If you have a certain minimum that you have to hit on your contract, you've got to respect that. Back in 1998, I got a call to do a college basketball game for CBS. And it was only because every one of their announcers were in Nagano for the Olympics, for the Winter Olympics, 1998. Yeah. So I did a Arkansas-Vanderbilt game on a February weekend in 1998. And the only reason I could do it, it was All-Star weekend in the NBA. I was off. I had nothing in my contract at the time with the Nets that would allow me to do other stuff. And it was dumb luck more than anything else. So I did the game. I worked with John Sunvold. It was a nondescript game. And I went back home assuming this was going to be a one-off. They ended up calling me a week later, seeing if I was available for a Syracuse-Georgetown game, which would have been my dream.
Right.
To do Syracuse-Georgetown. I had just graduated from Syracuse. That was the ultimate for that school and the rivalry. I couldn't do it. The Nets were playing the Pacers, and I could not get out of it. And then I thought, well, that's it. That's the end of it for CBS. I can't believe I'm saying no to this, but I couldn't do it.
Right.
They called me back to say, here's when the seminar is for the NCAA tournament. And I called. At the time, it was Fox Sports New York. It was under the auspices of MSG. Yeah. And the boss there, Mike McCarthy, who now is running the network for the Chicago Cubs, a great guy. I basically pleaded with him. I said, look, could I get this weekend off to do the NCAA tournament? And fortunately, he said yes. He didn't have to contractually. Right. So that was a case of I had built up some goodwill. I think he recognized that in the big picture, this was going to be a good thing for my career. During the NCAA tournament, Jimmy, I remember opening up the USA Today. I was in Sacramento, me and Jim Spinarkle. And the teams there were Maryland and Arizona and Illinois and Illinois State and Nichols State and Utah State. And I open up the USA Today. It was left at my door of the hotel, the Hyatt Regency, because everybody got a USA Today at their door. And Rudy Martsky's column stated CBS gets the rights to the AFC. And that was it. That changed my whole career because CBS got the rights. I was working for CBS. Right. I had done the Jets. And then the whole path changed based on, you know, basically a few weeks in time in 1998.
It does show you, too. I'd be curious what you think about this. Because whenever people ask me about getting in this business, obviously we do different things, but it's sports media under the umbrella. You know, I always say to them, you know, I don't like saying this, but from my experience, what happened to me and what I've seen with other people, who you know is almost more important than what you know. And I don't mean it, you know, it comes off as like a negative, and I don't mean it as a negative, because you got, you know, you had Mike McCarthy on your side there to help you. If he doesn't give you that permission, you know, so you need, and I think it's more true with what you do than what I do with TV, play-by-play, et cetera. You need people in higher positions on your side if you want to keep going and going and going.
No, you're right about that. Relationships are really important, and fostering them and maintaining them and not taking them for granted. I think for me, on a personal level, that's been a big part of success. And it's not ass kissing. It's actually finding a commonality and a common bond and doing the work that's required to maintain the relationship and staying in touch and checking in and finding where that fine line is of feedback and input and developing a back and forth. No, I can't tell you how many times in the course of my career, somebody that was in a position to make a decision that would affect my life, fortunately made the decision that benefited me based on the fact that they trusted me or believed in me, or I had built up enough equity in the relationship for them to believe in me. For all of these things to work out for me in scheduling, it does take an understanding boss somewhere along the line to see the big picture.
That's the thing. You need that person helping you not to be a jerk and to want to help you.
And sometimes you do get a boss that doesn't see it that way. And you have to accept that, too. They're in the position of power.
And I don't want to specifically call anyone a jerk because I don't know the details. But the fact that like ESPN and CBS can't work something out where they let Dick Vitale do the tournament one year after the guy's been, you know, whether, listen, you may not like his style. You may love him. It doesn't matter where you fall on the Vitale scale. That's a guy who deserves to call a tournament once in his life. I mean, come on, like work that out for the guy, you know?
Yeah, I thought you were going to call it the Vitale scenario, but I gets it, the Vitale scale.
That is definitely a Vitale scenario.
No, but I see your point. I do think sometimes there are some inner workings that we're not familiar with behind the scenes, things that took place years earlier, things that might have been petty. And here's the other part. And Jimmy, you live in this world, and oftentimes you're asked to make very snap observations on something that happens within the media. Mm. And we all know that the easiest way to do it is to take it off of what was the latest incident that happened.
Right.
And oftentimes it's deeper than that. When someone is let go, when someone is fired or someone is replaced, everyone just assumes, oh, they got railroaded. They got screwed because of this. This happened and then that happened. And oftentimes there's 10 other things that go into it that we know nothing about that had been building and building and building. But the PR hit is they let this person go. It's over. And it's based on this incident. It's not always that cut and dry.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of behind the scenes things that, you know, some people have the same agent, different agents. Yeah. And who know the, you know, there's a lot of that. Speaking of agents, just to follow up on it. Now, when Sean McDonough was on, he told me he made no secret. He pursued ESPN hard about getting that lead NHL gig. Do you go to TNT and say, I want this job if it's, you know, I mean, not if it's available, it is available. But do you make it clear to them that you would be happy to get that gig and you want it?
Yeah, I try to pick and choose those situations carefully. I found in my experience that telling management how to do their job is not necessarily the best way to go about moving up or advancing. But you do have to make your feelings known in some way. So you just have to be smart about it and aware of your surroundings. And as I mentioned earlier, that other people also feel the same way. And right. It's not shouting from the rooftops, and it's not calling over and over or sending endless emails. I think every situation is different. You've got to view it that way. There's no one specific formula of doing it of, oh yeah, the second I heard about it, I picked up the phone and I called so-and-so and I let it be known. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You've got to be smart and you've got to be selective on how you approach it. And you know, the hope also is that, like everything else in life, it is a meritocracy where you hope that your skill and your talent is what really stands out in these situations. But as we know, it's not always that way. There are so many other factors that come into play.
I will say, I mean, this is not for you to say, it's for me to say, but TNT is in a good spot here, which is usually, it's usually the opposite. Because I listen, if you're just going by common sense, you'd think they'd go with you or Kevin Harlan, Brian Anderson.
Yep.
All three obviously are excellent. And I think what helps them a lot, this is what my experience is, and again, not for you to say, you and Harlan are so beloved, they're going to get an automatic good PR bump if, you know, it's one of you guys. And that, you know, usually when you're coming in to fill in for a legend and yep. not even a legend, the all-timer, that's rough, but for TNT, I mean, they lucked out in this situation because that's not an easy spot. So at least they're, you know, for them, they should be, you know, grateful that, you know, if it's you or Harlan, from what I've seen from Twitter reaction, talking to friends, I mean, the fans would be very happy with that, which is not the case. Fans are usually not happy. We're usually very miserable people.
Well, what are you saying? You're saying yeah. Twitter is a place that can be a bastion of negativity?
It could be a problem.
I don't understand.
But see, but here's the thing, Ian, you know, I know you have the secret account. Where you see what's going on. Because knew that I had a guest cancel, and the only way you would know that is from Twitter. So, I would love to know how much time you're spending on that secret account.
Well, let me take you in a different direction because sure. I am very much in tune with what's happening. So
yes.
You're right. There is a burner account and I have never tweeted from it. I follow people that affect my position as a broadcaster and as an NFL, NBA, and some other sports that I'm interested, observer. But what I have found over the last, I'd say, 4 months in particular that has really shocked me is this TikTok tundra that takes place at about 10 o'clock at night. I have no idea why it's happening. What started it? But I will go on a 45-minute run.
Oh,
and I'm
see,
in
I do
trance.
I do 2 hours, so you're in good shape.
Okay. All right, I'm not as addicted as you. But
it started.
But the stuff that's obviously the algorithm now is following what I'm into.
Right.
I'll go down weird rabbit holes where I'm doing 11 minutes on Nell Carter, and I don't know why. I watched Give Me a Break, but I don't need that much Nell Carter knowledge. And then out of nowhere, I'll make a left turn and I'm watching the opening sequence from a Patty Duke, John Vernon, AKA Dean Wormer sitcom. And I can't understand where the time goes. I look up and I say, this just blew my night. It's insane. How addicting it is.
I have a lot to say here. First of all, I need to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the first ever Nell Carter reference on the SI Media podcast. As someone who grew up in the 80s, I was a big Give Me a Break fan. So we need to give Nell her credit there. Devastating when Chief died on the show. And
Dolph Sweet. Yeah.
Yes.
That was tough. And when Joey Lawrence grew up, for me, that was also tough. He didn't have that same little that bull haircut. He was getting bigger then.
And you know, it's funny. I had a night on TikTok recently, within the last month, I would say, where I think within like a 5 minute span, I followed Giannis, Shawn Mendes, and Frank Sinatra. I mean. So when you say you go into the rabbit hole, I know exactly. And it started for me at the beginning of the pandemic. I have two nieces who are 16 and 11. Their whole life is TikTok. They yeah. don't care about anything but TikTok. So that's how I began to get familiar with it. And then the addiction is real.
Yeah. And you know what the other insane part of it is? And I think this plays into the addiction. I've convinced myself that at some point, I'm just going to get to the end. That there will never be something new that can surprise me. That as I keep, and the other part, it plays, I don't have ADD, but I know right. obviously a lot of people do.
Yeah.
It plays to that. If you don't like something within 2 seconds, you swipe up and you move on to the next thing.
Right.
And I just have some weird notion that I'm going to finish at some point. I'm going to get yeah. to the top of the mountain.
Right.
And it's over. And I'm going to get a message saying, you've seen every TikTok. Go
it won't happen.
Read a book.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Ever.
I just remembered that's what got me into it. It was at the beginning of the pandemic. And what I got into it for and made an account to why I got into all the Karen videos. It was everyone fighting about the masks. I'm not yes. wearing the mask in this store. My freedoms. I'm sick. You know, it would be one person going into the store saying, I'm not wearing the mask. And she would say, I have a note from my doctor. I'm sick. It's my yeah. freedoms. It's the First Amendment. It's Russia's trying to control it. So like, which one is it? So it was all the Karen videos is what got me into it at first. And then you see that there's so much other stuff on there that it's just incredible. And yeah, like I'll have those nights where it's 1 and 2 a.m. and I'm like, I just want it. Like, why doesn't it just kick me off or something already?
And the problem is if something is of interest to you, then you begin oh, yeah. to really go deeper. I don't know, about a month ago, I watched 12 straight Bernie Coppell videos. That's Doc from Love Boat. Great guy, wonderful actor. But I didn't need that in my life at that point. I didn't know.
But maybe you did.
Maybe I did.
I did read something. It was funny because when the pandemic first started, those first few months, people were binging all sorts of things like Tiger King. And I did that too. Yeah. But I did go back and rewatch a lot. I rewatched Curb. I rewatched The Sopranos. I rewatched, I think, the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah.
And I read something recently about how if you have anxiety, you went back and watched old things when the
pandemic.
I was like, There it is. Yeah. So, yeah. and that's the thing with TikTok. I mean, there's the perception that it's for people who are 13, yeah. but it's now transformed to Frank Sinatra has an official account on there that I just followed. So,
yeah, look, my wife, who obviously knows all about the broadcasting industry now because of me and because of my son and has been around it forever and can speak fluently on these topics. I will find her in a space in our house, as I call it, talking. Yeah. And I'll look over and say, are you talking right now? She'll look up. I am. You get the beady eyes. You get into the fiend mode
yeah.
where it's feeding back.
It's like the alcoholic wild. Sneaking to have a drink or the person who overeats hiding behind
yes,
the food counter
the Snickers
to eat that cupcake. Yeah.
Yes. And you find now... Yeah. The wrappers underneath a vase.
Sadly, I can relate to both of those categories.
I'm hitting close to home. I'm sorry.
Yes. I talked about this last week. I had an experience there where I got like my first negative comments on TikTok. And because those people Ooh. Don't know you, man, they're vicious, but it's
oh, yeah.
all good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, my daughter is heavily involved. She has a rather large account, a fashion account with nearly 170,000 followers. And it's a huge part of her life.
Yeah.
And I see now that it's a way to make a living, which is hard to believe. She just graduated college and this has been a bridge
yeah.
to having a professional career. It's wild.
Yeah, it really is wild. And, you know, the media game constantly changing. That's another layer of this. Speaking of the media game changing, this is another question I had for you, which is let's say hypothetically you didn't get the lead NBA job for TNT for whatever reason. Would the Thursday night Amazon football game appeal to you? Would you want that job?
Yeah, I've been doing Thursday night on the radio for Westwood One for... Right. 11 seasons. This might be year number 12 coming up. So I did get used to the schedule
Right, because you could do it Thursday and Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's challenging though, Jimmy. I'll say that. The information when you start doing the numbers, it's 53 players on a roster. That's 106 for a game that you have to have a working knowledge of. And now you multiply it by two, you're at 212 names a week, where it's not just you have to be able to recall their name, you have to know something about them and be able in the moment to give some valuable piece of information. And the wear and tear, the travel, I've enjoyed it. I like the juggle. It actually helps me because as the season goes on, if you had Tennessee and Jacksonville on a Thursday, and now you get Tennessee on a Sunday or Jacksonville on a Sunday, you feel like, oh, I've done a lot of the prep here. I'm absolutely prepared. And now I just have to dot some I's and cross some T's and get into the thick of it with the specific information for the week. So I've enjoyed it. Who knows? I'm curious how all of that plays out. I think Amazon is going to try to do something unique and special. The bottom line for Amazon is they are going to have to still present the game. NFL fans want to see the game. So you can do some innovative stuff, but you can't lose sight of what you need to do, the meat and potatoes of doing the game. It's got to look like an NFL game. It's got to sound like an NFL game. It's got to feel like an NFL game. And as long as they check all three of those boxes, I think they're going to be able to try some things and maybe find some new terrain that hasn't been covered in previous iterations of this.
So it sounds like you'd be up for that gig if it was
Is that what you took out of that answer?
That's what I took out. And also, you know, I assumed, which I guess I should never do as a host, but I assumed if TNT went to you and said, Ian, we want you to replace Marv as our lead NBA announcer, and if Amazon went to you and said, we want you to do Thursday Night Football, you would obviously do the NBA over the NFL. That was my assumption. Was I correct in that assumption?
Hold on. Let me write these down. These are good life paths to follow.
Yeah. You'd want
the
NBA.
I have no idea, Jimmy.
You don't know which job you would choose if you had to pick one of those jobs? Really?
I have no idea. No.
Oh, see, I would always think you would go NBA. I mean, yeah, the NFL is bigger, but I feel like you're an NBA guy. I don't know, because I remember you calling the Nets for 100 years. I always think of you as an NBA guy.
Yeah, obviously I've been doing the NBA longer. I started in 94, started doing NFL officially play-by-play in 97. So they've both been long-term jobs. Hey, look, these would be really good problems to have. So
oh, yeah, for sure.
If those kinds of things pop up, great.
Interesting. All right. That threw a wrinkle there at me, I must say. I
thought it'd
be NBA
all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a lot to think about, it seems like.
I'm going to go on TikTok. I can't. This is like too huge for me to even ponder.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the wind down tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So here's, I thought it would be fun. I hate doing hokey bullshit, but you're very funny and quick. So I figured if I'm going to do this with someone, I just have a couple of like topics I just wanted to throw at you. Just see what, you know, whatever.
This is not hokey bullshit though, right?
Okay. Well, it is, but we'll see what happens. I thought you might have a comment or two that could that could be interesting for people. Just your thoughts on random things. And then we're going to get into some food things. We'll start with a sports-related item, okay? Travis Kelce. Is it Kelce or Kelce? What have you been saying? What are you going to say this season?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I find him to be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
He is tremendous in our production meetings. He's always good. He never disappoints. He's ridiculously likable. There was a show on Showtime. It didn't last very long. It's with John C. Reilly. And he's in the first episode. And I don't want to give anything away. Right. Again, it didn't really hit. It's about space travel. They only made 7 episodes. I did watch it. He kills it. He is absolutely phenomenal in it. So if you want to go search it out on Showtime, give it a shot.
Did you ever watch his e-reality show?
I did watch a bit of it because I wanted to be prepared. I knew we were going to have him in a production meeting, and I don't want to hit him with the same old shit.
Right.
So I wanted to come at it from a different angle. So I ended up watching a few episodes. And again, I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah. Now, for people who don't know, the concept of the show was Travis Kelce was looking for a girlfriend because I'm sure he had a lot of trouble finding a girlfriend.
Correct.
Good-looking NFL player, just probably
6'5",
struggling. Yeah, struggling every day.
So to answer your question.
Wait, I just want to say one thing. So he went on the show and the concept was he was going to date 50 women, one from each state in the United States. Because, again, just what Travis Kelce need, more women that he can date.
It's equal opportunity. He wanted to give every state a fair shot. I respect him. You know, I thought it was noble.
It was a great show.
I actually thought the show was pretty good. It was cheesy as hell, but he sold it well.
Absolutely.
And again, he's very affable. I think part of me believes he's screwing with people on this Kelce Kelce thing.
Right.
And then another part of me believes that maybe there is something to it, that back in the day he was called this. And, you know, his brother's a professional player too. He absolutely could have corrected somebody along the way at the collegiate level, at the professional level. It reminded me of a story personally. So the Nets go to the NBA finals with Jason Kidd at the helm, and they're going to play the Los Angeles Lakers. And we fly to LA, Bill Raftery and I had done the games all season. They're going to have us do pre and post game, pregame hits, postgame hits. Again, this was under the umbrella of MSG, but it was Fox Sports New York. And the night before game one of the NBA Finals, I'm in my hotel room. And again, this is pre-cell phone, so we're talking 02. And I get a call to my room, and I pick up the phone in my room, and the person says, "Hey, Ian, what's up? It's T-Mac." I'm like, "Who the hell is T-Mac?" I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" He's like, "Hey, I just saw Bill Raftery. What time are you meeting for dinner?" And I really have no idea who this is on the phone. And I think it's a fan. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the voice. And I just play it off. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure, man." He's like, "Oh, really?" I'm like, "No." And he goes, "Oh, all right, thanks." And he hangs up. I'm like, "That was weird." So I go downstairs. We're meeting at 7 o'clock. So I meet Raf in the lobby. Frank DeGrace, our producer, is with us. And then Todd McCullough, who's a center on the Nets, is there as well. And I say, hey, what's up, Todd? He goes, what's your problem, man? I go, what's my problem? He goes, I just called your room an hour ago and you wouldn't. I go, you're T-Mac? He goes, yeah. I go, nobody's ever called you T-Mac that I've ever heard. He goes, so I had no idea it was Todd McCullough. The story gets to another angle. One last one. So we go to dinner and his father joins us for dinner at an Italian restaurant. He's going to play Shaquille O'Neal the next night. I'm staring at him across the table. I'm thinking in 24 hours, you are going to get your ass kicked by Shaquille O'Neal. But on this night, he's at an Italian restaurant with me, some of the guys on the TV crew, and his dad. So his dad, who's tall guy, 6'8", Canadian, nice guy, turns to me and he says, hey, I got a bone to pick with you. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, what's up? He said, our name is McCullough. I said, what? McCullough? I said, seriously? And now Todd's sitting across the table. And I said, Mr. McCullough, I am so sorry. I actually went to your son before the season, which I did at Media Day. And I asked him, how do you pronounce your name? Because it means a lot to me based on my own name. And he told me it's McCullough, Todd McCullough. And then Mr. McCullough looks at me and goes, well, he doesn't know. Who the hell am I supposed to believe?
Right.
So in Travis Kelce's case, it may have been Kelce at some point, but it's accepted as Kelce. At some point, I think what I'm going to do this year, Jimmy, I'm not joking. If he drops a pass, I'll call him Kelce. And if he catches a pass, he's Kelce. So
that works. That'll work. Okay. Do you know what an FT is? If NFT is, and if so, can you explain it to me?
I am familiar with the terminology. I do not understand it. And I'm not in that world. No, I cannot explain it to you. I'm not your guy. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Did J-Lo rush back to Ben Affleck too soon?
No, I think they're soulmates.
No, soulmates.
Soulmates, yep.
All right, this one's a little more detailed. We have seen a side of Tom Brady in the past year that we have not seen before. Yeah. You have been in meetings with him for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
Are we seeing a new Tom Brady, or has this always been Tom Brady? Do you chalk it up to him not being in New England? Do you chalk it up to him being 44 and he doesn't care anymore and he's showing everyone what he is? What is going on here?
Ding, 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 ding. That's the indicator that your second part was correct.
So this it has nothing to do with New England. Him. Okay.
Always been him. And he's just letting people see the real him. I've always been impressed with him. And I did, if it wasn't his first start, it was his second start after the Bledsoe injury. And he walked into the meeting room. I was blown away by his friendliness and by his openness and his ability to answer every question you threw his way and give you something worthwhile, very similar to Peyton in that regard. The difference that I think now we see is the playful side. And he was comfortable, certainly with Dan Fouts and I. Dan had covered him when he was in high school. Dan had video. He brought video with him at one point of him interviewing Tom Brady when he was in high school and them doing a walk and talk. And it obviously resonated with Tom because he's talking to a Hall of Fame QB who was a local anchor in San Francisco. He was at KPIX in San Francisco doing the sports and interviewed Tom Brady, who was starting to emerge in the Bay Area. So he was always comfortable with Dan, and Dan could screw with him and Dan could poke at him. And Tom was playful back. I remember very specifically one particular instance for me. I'm doing the Nets during the NFL season. I'm trying to pack it all in. I had a net game on a Friday. I took the first flight available Saturday morning to get to New England. And look, their facility is not that close to Boston. It's not that close to Providence. It's a hike. I fly into Boston. I get a ride from Boston into their facility, and I get there. And Jimmy, I'm a wreck. I'm working on for me, too little sleep. I don't drink coffee. I've never had a sip of coffee in my life. So I know people would say, like, just pound a couple of cups of coffee. I don't do it. I go into the meeting room and they had in the press area, it's empty except for us. First, they bring Dunkin' Donuts, big box. And in the press area, they have sodas. And it was a large Pepsi. And it's 9 something in the morning. I was on like a 7 a.m. flight or 6:50. So I just convinced myself, I'm just going to have the Pepsi. That's going to give me the jolt. And they bring donuts. So Tom walks in. I have a large Pepsi in front of me and a half-eaten chocolate frosted donut. And he walks in and he says, having a good morning? Ian, how's that all working out for you? I said, oh, no. Normally I wouldn't have a Pepsi at 9 a.m., but he doesn't want to hear it. He's like, no, you're having a Pepsi at 9 a.m. and you've eaten a donut. He goes, you know, I go to a healthy donut shop, which is only a half mile away. I was like, well, that's kind of an oxymoron. Like, why would you have a healthy donut? And I said, well, have you ever had a Pepsi? He goes, no, never had soda. So he crushed me at that point. And I believe he fat shamed me as well. And so now
I think he health shamed you. He health shamed you.
He health shamed. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 weeks later, we have him again. Road game. First thing he says when he steps up, he's like, where's your donut? Where's your Pepsi? He knows to keep going back to it. A year later, he'll go back to it.
That is
he
tremendous.
He doesn't forget shit.
That ever. Is true. Yeah. That is, I mean, I don't even know where to, I have so many things about that. I mean, see, here's my thing. When he says, you know, he's never had a soda, he's never had a strawberry, even as a kid, that's, you know, I get it during your professional career. He's, listen, whatever he's done has worked. And I believe him when he says it. It's not that I, but you never had a soda as a kid? That one's hard to believe.
I wasn't allowed to have soda as a kid. And that backfired on my parents because then right. I was curious. I was drawn in by the idea of soda.
And I feel like if your parents don't let you have soda, as soon as you get to a friend's house, you're guzzling a 2 liter of Pepsi.
Well, what happened? So my parents traveled a great deal. My mom moved to the West Coast to pursue entertainment. My father was on the road 200 plus days a year as an entertainer and representing Xerox after this very successful commercial that he did as a monk. And I was basically living with a housekeeper, a live-in housekeeper. And a friend of mine, a buddy of mine, Stephen Justman, came to the house and he had a Mountain Dew and he threw it out in my garbage. And our housekeeper saw it and she asked me, she said, Ian, you like Mountain Dew? I was like, yeah. No, I love Mountain Dew. I'd never had a Mountain Dew in my life.
Right.
She gets a case of it. I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. I pounded this stuff like it was going out of style. And my father got home. There might have been like one can left on the shelf. He goes, hey, what's going on here? I was like, dude, things
are changed. All hell is broken loose. That's what's going on.
Life is different, man.
Can I tell you?
Life pre-Mountain Dew. Now I know a different life.
I've never had a Mountain Dew.
Man, did you ever have Jolt Cola in
college? No.
Yeah, no, it was a rush.
I was never into, the Brady stuff, I just can't get over it. Tom Brady recently told Jim Gray he shops at Target. Do you believe him?
I believe him. Yeah.
I do too.
I believe him.
And I like that.
Yeah. He's a good dude. I'm telling you this from someone now.
I agree. I agree 100%. I've always loved Tom.
He's a good guy.
He's always been my favorite player to watch. I've told this story a million times. I interviewed him once in person for SI. I was blown away by the experience. So I'm with you on that. You know, it's funny because we're talking about Brady and I thought of it earlier when you mentioned a burner account and I should ask you since we're doing this, what has your experience been like with Durant? Obviously, you're not going to sit here and bash him, but obviously, I don't want to use the word controversial. I don't think he's controversial, but a unique personality. Let's just say that. And like I said, he came in my head when you mentioned burner account because he loves to mix it up on social media. As the voice of the Nets, what's been your experience with Durant?
Limited, but the experiences that I've had with him have been positive. I think he's a really interesting guy. he doesn't put up this false persona. He's not trying to project something that he's not. He, at some point over the course of his career, decided, I'm just going to be real. And some people are going to like it and some people aren't, but I'm just going to do me and do my thing. And ultimately, he's been incredibly smart as a businessman. He and his business partner, Rich Kleinman, have done some major deals. And he has accepted what comes with this job and to some degree, he's embraced it, sometimes to his detriment, probably. It would probably be healthier just to let some stuff go. But he likes it. He enjoys the visceral effect of getting into it with fans or pundits, calling people out on their bullshit, if he believes that to be the case. To me, it's kind of refreshing.
And it is amazing. I mean, the NBA season really did come down to his foot being a centimeter, maybe.
Insane.
Truly. You said you had limited interaction with him, I assume mainly because of COVID, right?
Pandemic. One full year, there's been nothing. I didn't see a player. I didn't talk to a player other than on Zoom. I have not been with a player or a coach since March 10th of 2020. I met with Doc Rivers and Steve Kerr in person for a TNT game. Me and Stan Van Gundy did the game in San Francisco. And I also recall that was the last time I shook someone's hand. Raymond Ritter, the PR guy for the Warriors, I shook his hand at the end of the night. The next day, all hell broke loose. I took a red eye home. There was one person on the plane wearing a mask at that point. And even then, I was like, what's that person doing? What's going on there? And then at the Super Bowl, this past Super Bowl, I wrapped up my stuff pregame. And as I was getting my material out from the area it was in, I lift my head up and somebody who was going to take my spot had their hand extended and said, great job. And I shook their hand. That was the first time I shook someone's hand in 11 months.
I thought you were going to tell me you Mutombo'd them.
I did not. No. I did not Mutombo. Okay. I shook his hand.
Do you know, I mean, we're 5 weeks away. Do you know what the plan is for the NFL? So, like, are you going to be able to do your player meetings on Saturday, or we're still not doing that? Zoom, you don't know yet?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's very fluid, and I think it might still be changing. Jimmy, I don't know if it's set in stone. I think there might have been one thought process of this is how it's going to be done.
And then
now with
Delta,
what's going on around the country, they might amend that and they might have to.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll probably have to. I bet they wait. They got to wait as long as possible, I guess, to figure out what the plan's going to be. All right. Before you go, let's clear up some food issues here, because if you Google Iron Eagle.
I want to clear up some food issues.
Okay. So let me just start with this, because you said you have never had coffee.
That's true. Never had a sip.
Did you see what Lions coach Dan Campbell said today? Because it happened right before we started.
Yes.
He drinks two 40-ounce coffees with two shots of espresso. So he's having 80 ounces of coffee and four espresso shots to get him through the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that shows you I am active on Twitter, because where else
you
would I
that?
Have seen that?
Yeah. Right.
I did see
that. NFL coaches, boy, talk about the weirdest people on earth. No, seriously, like they're like with those stories, like they'd be like, John Gruden's in his office at 4 a.m. Why? Like, why? Why are you in your office at 4 a.m.? It's like,
they're different,
it's not help
man.
You with, yeah.
Different breed.
Okay. So just to clarify, because there's like all these, like, I mean, you Google your name, it's hysterical. Never had ketchup. You had it once by accident.
Yeah, by accident. Fifth grade class trip, Washington, D.C., McDonald's, disoriented. They were tossing hamburgers around. I took one bite. Oh, my God. And that was it. That's the only time it's ever crossed my lips.
Now, when you say no condiments, no ketchup, no mayo, no mustard. Okay, I got that. Now, and no salad, because that would require dressing.
No, I've never had a salad.
Now, what about spices?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Cinnamon,
I like spices.
For example.
Yeah,
cinnamon
I mean,
is okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can eat cinnamon. Yeah. Okay. What do you think? I'm a communist? Yeah.
I got to get now like Chinese food.
Yeah.
Is that a bitch for you to order? Are you doing like a lot of on the side?
No, not a bitch. No, I just accept whatever they're doing. It's a part of it. And I'm fine.
So it's really just the ketchup, mustard, mayo trio and the salad with the dressings.
The dressing, Thousand Island, that would freak me out. French dressing, Italian dressing.
No, even Italian dressing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what about like a pasta salad that's got like an Italian dressing?
I've never had pasta salad, never had potato salad. No. And when I say I don't like it, it's one thing. I'm telling you, I've never eaten it.
Oh, I believe you.
That's the distinction. And right. People will question me like, come on, why would I lie?
No, I totally believe you.
As funky as that.
No, I believe you 100%. So if you go to a barbecue.
Yeah.
Person's grilling hot dogs, hamburgers.
Yep.
That's fine. Plain.
Yeah.
Corn on the cob, we'll go with that.
No, I'll eat corn on the cob, but nothing wrong with that.
But if there's any sort of salad with the mayo, that's obviously
No. That's not going to happen. It's not right, it's even right. Like, okay. I might take a look. No. It won't happen. But someone brought this up to me. I got a lot of texts. I think it was after I was on with Dan Lebatard.
Right.
Because that seemed to uncork.
Yeah.
Many reactions. Very.
And I got pissed
reactions.
When I saw that, because I'm like, Ian's talked about this with me.
Yes, I was on with you and I explained this. But I got a very specific text from someone saying, I'm going to call bullshit on you because I know for a fact you have barbecue sauce and that's a condiment. And I said, whoa, back it up. Back it up, brother. That's a sauce. It's very different. That's saucy.
I'll tell you right now, if I went on Twitter and said, is barbecue sauce a condiment or a sauce? All hell would break loose.
Oh, I know. Don't do, please. All hell. I'm asking you, don't do that.
I won't do it. But if someone's listening to this, go on Twitter and let us know what you think it is. What about, so no coffee, tea?
Yeah, I mean, I would drink it. I don't really drink it. There's a throat coat that I drink before every broadcast. Right. So that is tea. And it's something that I found, I don't
now,
know,
do you,
10 years ago.
Now, I don't want to go all Tom Brady on you. Are you doing like the soda in the morning to get your energy up? Or
it's all mental. No, I don't drink soda in the morning. That just happened that one particular day. That's
and you
what
can't live
available.
It down.
Yeah. I don't.
So in a cold, like January morning, 7 a.m., you got to be out of the house. What are we drinking? Hot chocolate?
I mean, I would have a hot chocolate, but I would drink nothing.
You don't need the hot beverage to get the bones warmed up.
Okay. Do not. No, okay. It doesn't affect me.
Interesting. Now, how does this play with... Now, obviously, Raftery, he's only caring about, like, if you're drinking scotch or...
No, he's a coffee drinker. And the funniest part, he knows I don't drink coffee, yet every time he gets coffee, and I think it's just based on him being a nice person, he says, hey, Baird, you want one? Should I get you one? I don't think he's being a prick about it. I think he thinks maybe that'll be the first one I'll have. Like, yeah, like one day I just like, yeah, whatever you get me that. Never had it, but today's the day. We're going to have it in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Love it. I don't think the coffee thing is weird at all.
No.
I know a lot of people that don't drink coffee, but they drink soda in the morning, which repulses me.
No, I don't do that.
Well, let's end it there. That's a positive. I don't think so.
Oh, you're saying all of that was a negative, and then
That Tom Brady story is a little shaky, Ian.
It was shaky. Yeah,
I mean, you know the goat is coming in, and you know he's not eating anything but avocados and no tomatoes, and there you are guzzling the Pepsi.
Trust me, I was not of sound mind. Yeah. I don't. How many hours of sleep do you require to function? Is there a certain number that you need to hit?
I have a weird thing. I can function on function on like 4 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't get 8 the next night,
it's gonna set you back.
I will have a migraine and I will be completely
messed
up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in a perfect world, this is rare. If I got 8 hours, that would be incredible. I tend to get 7. I can function and do everything that I need to do with 6. Anything under 6, something's gonna go awry.
But that's got to be hard for you, though, with your schedule. I mean, you're doing games late at night and you got to travel.
It is very hard. Yeah. So my point is, on that particular day, I was under the 6-hour threshold and it affected my judgment. And Tom Brady, he made me pay.
Like he's done to so many others over the years.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like a DB in bad coverage.
Yes. Yeah. Like he said about on that show, and he said, "Oh, you're going to keep that motherfucker instead of me." That, he knows. He doesn't remember. He doesn't forget. No. He doesn't forget.
He remembers every steel trap brain.
I love seeing it, and I love having you come on. Thank you, Ian. I appreciate it greatly. It means a lot. Thank you,
Jimmy. My pleasure.
Enjoy the NFL season. Stay safe.
And who missed out on this? Doggy.
He'll be on soon.
The trainer scenario.
Well, you know, it's funny. He wants to come on to promote a podcast. He does a podcast for Sirius.
Yeah, he does.
And he will, and you know this better than anyone, he will mention the podcast on his show to promote it and then take a shot at me out of nowhere. He'll be like, I talked about the 1954 Pirates for 2 hours. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Jimmy Trainor, with your podcast. I'm like, wait, what did I do?
Nothing. He's your the best. Collateral damage.
That's yeah, it. He is
you
the best.
You have to view it as such.
I love it. All right, Ian, thanks a lot. Be well.
All right. See you, bud. Take care. I showered for this, so let's just get that out.
I'll tell the people for YouTube.
Yep. I put some
Moose
product
Moose.
In.
All right. Yep. Thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right, Jimmy. All right. Be good, bud.
Thanks.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining me now, as always, every week for our weekly Train of Thought segment, my buddy Sal Licata from WFAN Radio in New York and SNY TV. How's it going?
I was
going
to say, what's next? Yeah, no, not bad.
You know, I realize every week I come and I plug SNY and FAN. I should give out your Twitter so people could yell at you on there because I know you love that.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
At Sal underscore Licata, L-I-C.
You couldn't get Sal Licata? You had to get the underscore?
I could not get it. No, even years back, for whatever reason, it was just not there.
Interesting.
Yeah, plus, it looks weird anyway with the two L's back to back. The underscore separates. It looks nice.
Sal loves Twitter.
I hate it. Loves I hate Twitter. It.
Well, I will say this. Twitter was good to me this morning because it gave me a column because Netflix put out the trailer for this documentary they're doing on the Palace at the Malice at the Palace, which I thought looked tremendous. Did you get a chance to check it out?
I did. It is must-see. Yes. I did. I cannot wait. I, you know what? The best thing about the trailer was that it's coming out, what, August 9th, which is
August 10th.
Yeah,
August
10th. We don't have to wait that. It's right around the corner. It's right here. Right. I cannot. Now, it's a one-part series or it's a multiple?
So the show is 5 parts of 5 different topics. So I think like one topic they said was like Caitlyn Jenner winning the, I don't know, but one episode is the Malice at the Palace. So it's one episode.
So it's a documentary show?
Docuseries, yeah.
Docuseries, yeah. Okay. On I thought Netflix. It was just specifically on that. That's great. I'm into that. I love documentaries, so I didn't even check out the other ones. But that one in particular is, I can't wait for that.
Yeah. They did a good job with the trailer. the Pacers, you know, the Pacers players are, they're still not happy with, you know, I guess obviously they're not going to be happy with what happened, but I don't think they're happy with the perception that they were sort of to blame, or they, you know, they, Ron Artest went in the stands, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to see and hear if there's a different side.
I remember that, man. It was such a wild night. I couldn't believe it. Remember, at that time, it's a little different now where you're seeing fans throw stuff more and just be more interactive, especially with social media. Back then, it wasn't necessarily like that. What was it, 2003, 2004, something like that? And it just, to see players go into the stand, I'm not saying I blame them. I know you can't do it. But the stuff being thrown, I'm sure there was a lot of stuff being said. I cannot wait to find out more behind the scenes stuff. And I can understand the players' frustration, because the fans think they could act any way they want. And in reality, there have to be some consequences. Not that that should be it, but obviously that's what happened.
Now, on the flip side, HBO released the trailer for Hot Knocks. It did absolutely nothing for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, just that music alone. Football season starts when the first episode of Hard Knocks airs. I don't care who the team is, what the players are, and I know some seasons are much better than others. I can't get enough of it. I love it. The music.
I thought it was such a bad year last year. And listen, I think it's been bad. I shouldn't use the word bad. For me, Hard Knocks stopped being interesting a very long time ago when Twitter came around, because there's nothing that's on Hard Knocks that can be fresh. Everything is old. Now, the one season that sort of blew up that theory was the Brown season. The Brown season was tremendous, because you had Baker Mayfield was a rookie. You had the coach who was like stretching his bullshit. You think they ever stretched at Normandy? I forgot the guy's name, Bob Wiley.
Oh, yeah, the big
was
guy. Great.
And then you had Carl Nassib talking about finances and people wasting their time on social media. That was a great season.
Now, do you remember them? Who was
they did the
that?
Raiders. The Raiders was a terrible season.
Man, I don't remember.
One of the worst, might be the worst. And then last year they did the Rams and Chargers.
I didn't like that.
It was okay. It wasn't great.
The COVID stuff ruined everything. And it was more about that, like, oh, this is how they're functioning with COVID.
No offense, but what do you think this year is going to be? I mean, there's going to be a lot of COVID this year, too.
I don't want to see that. At least it's one team. I thought last year, too, the two teams at times, I agree, it was confusing, but it was just too much. I want to focus on one team, and that's it. Dive into that team. So I didn't like the idea. And it was also about the new stadiums and everything. Last year was, I agree with you, I thought last year's was probably the worst for many reasons. The Raiders, I don't really recall. I know people ripped the Falcons one that they had years ago.
That was
ago.
A bad one, too, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, some of these are nondescript. I think this will be a good one, though, with the Cowboys. I hope.
You know what it is? And I know this is blasphemy to say this, especially as someone who's, like, in the media. And I get everything's about the Cowboys, America's team. The ratings are always strong. You write anything about the Cowboys. I'm not interested in the Cowboys. Just not.
Like, that's fair.
I'd much rather see, I mean, they won't do it. They got to go by certain rules. But like, the Chiefs are so much more interesting than the Cowboys. The Bucks are so much more interesting than the Cowboys. I think the Bills are more interesting than the Cowboys. Like, I don't know. The Cowboys don't get me excited the way they get a lot of other people excited.
Agreed. However, I still think there is some intrigue there because, A, it is still the Cowboys. Whether we love them as much as everybody else, it's still the Cowboys, not just some nondescript team. Plus Dak coming back, plus McCarthy. Maybe you get to see his ineptitude on full display in Hard Knocks behind the scenes. So there are some intrigue. Jerry Jones, I'm sure, will get something, I would hope, at least with him. And he's always a character. So I at least think there are some entertaining elements that are possible with the Cowboys.
Yeah, listen, people are going to watch it because it's the Cowboys, so it automatically becomes a thing. I'm just, for me personally, like, I'm not all pumped up because it's the Cowboys, but it will get other people.
Don't people watch it regardless? Like, I know you were, I couldn't care less which team. I know certain teams are better stories, but I don't care who it is. I'm watching it. I love it.
I agree.
Even last year in a bad year, I made a point to watch every single episode and I couldn't wait for it to come out. So how bad could it be? Even its worst is still a great episode.
Yeah,
for me.
I agree. I think the biggest piece of media news this week is that Gus Johnson is going to do some NFL games for Fox this year. He did NFL for a while, for many years for CBS. Then he went to Fox, became the voice of college football for Fox. And now, I emailed Fox, a spokesperson told me he's going to do 6 or 7 games with Aqib Talib, who was tremendous in the couple of games he did last year. Are you a Gus fan? Because some people don't like the screaming and yelling.
I don't mind it. I'm not a I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a Gus fan. I think he's fine. And I remember certain games when he used to do with CBS, there was some funny moments. He's funny. He's entertaining. But I'm I wouldn't say that I love the screaming and the over excitement. So I'm not look, and he's better than a lot of the other teams that they run out there. So no question about that. But I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a Gus fan.
See, a lot of people like to say, like, you know, you're not going to watch the game for the announcers.
You think
if he's Gus Johnson and Aqib Talib are calling, you know, Lions,
was good.
He was very good because he was different. He was unique.
Yeah, I like that.
But if they're calling, you know, Lions, who else thinks? Lions, Washington, I'm going to listen to them. I'm absolutely going to have the sound on their game.
See, you're a Gus fan. There's not, I don't know if there's an announcer in the world that can make me have the sound on for Lions, Washington. I mean, that's a brutal. It's got to be a rough Sunday for that to be the case.
But it's a smart move by Fox. It's a very smart move to have him do some NFL games.
So who's he replacing and why isn't he doing it full, like a full slate?
Well, Dick Stockton retired, I think, a year ago.
Right.
Sam Rosen was not in the roster.
Is he done now, Sam?
He's not doing any games for Fox this year. They lost Tom Brenneman.
Right.
When he decided to just scream out a slur in the middle of a Reds game.
Those are three guys.
Yeah.
And they needed a change because those guys, and I love Sam Rosen with the Rangers, but with football and Stockton, the same thing. You could tell it was just, you know, it was time. It was time to move on.
And then the other interesting thing for Fox for the NFL this year is they're going to have the number two team with Burkhardt, who we both like a lot, is going to be Greg Olsen going right from the field into the booth, former tight end. And he's on the number two team with Burkhardt, which means he's going to get a good game every week.
And then Aaron Andrews got moved to that team as well. Explain
no,
that.
Aaron is still with Buck and Aikman.
Oh, okay. Maybe I misread something.
What they're going to do, what Fox is going to do is on weeks when they have the America's Game of the Week, which is usually like the 4:25 doubleheader.
Right.
They're going to have Rinaldi join that team. And I guess they'll cover both sidelines. They'll have Aaron cover one sideline, Rinaldi cover another.
Okay.
So he's only doing those games.
Okay. So it's still Buck, Aikman, Aaron, and
Tom Rinaldi.
And now Olsen.
Greg Olsen. So that'll be... And then CBS, they're not announcing their announcers yet, but I'm intrigued by all of that. So I get into I like football. I like to have good announcers.
Agreed. But you and I, and look, we watch a lot of Sunday football together, and I'm sure we'll do the same thing again this year. It's really less about the sound for a lot of the games. The biggest ones, the standalone games, obviously Sunday, Monday night, the 4 o'clock primetime game, the big game of the week. Obviously, there are some big 1 o'clock games too throughout the course of the year, and you want to have eye in on those games or whatever. So yes, I'm into that, but it is a little... especially for the 1 o'clock games, you get so much going on, so many different things. I don't know. I don't know if I would say I'm focusing on the announcers. Although if you're a fan of whatever team, let's say the Giants, you like having the big announcers there because it makes you feel like you have a bigger game.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Without a doubt. That's why, you know, there's all these rumblings. I talked to Ian about this before you came on. You know, Amazon wants to get a really big booth for that Thursday night because now they're going to have it exclusive. And, you know, it hit me like what having Ian, you know, Marchand reports that they want Al Michaels. But if they can't get Al, you know, Ian could be a guy who gets that gig.
Well, now, wait, how would they get Al? He's not under contract with NBC anymore.
Well, this is supposedly this is going to be his last year at NBC. Supposedly.
Okay.
And the other thing is the Amazon game is going to be produced by the NBC team.
Okay.
By the NBC director, producer.
Which would be the guys that he's familiar with, Al.
Right. So Al's not going to do every Sunday night. It's going to be like last, you know, Tirico did about 3, 4, 5 games last year. So I think they're going to have that same deal again this year.
I have to say this, and it's not just because I'm friendly with him and have known him for years, and not just because you had him on and you're friendly with him. Ian Eagle needs to be, for the betterment of the viewing audience, he needs to be on a primetime game. I mean, he's made for it. I don't care if it's Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night. Ian Eagle, at some point, give us what we want. We need it. Ian has to be on primetime. It's great for CBS on Sunday afternoons. I understand that. He's got to be on primetime at some point soon.
I don't disagree. The problem is there's no job out there. Like, Nance,
well, you just mentioned
that
might be one Amazon.
That could be, yeah. But if Al wants it, then Al, you know, here's what's weird. What's weird is there's like this new thing where like these networks get someone waiting. Like the reason NBC wants to have Al maybe retire is because they have Tirico waiting.
Right. I guess.
So I mean, you know, it's weird. It's very, so like if NBC Tirico's says,
fine. He's just,
yeah, Tirico's very good.
And it's not a knock on anybody else. Even, you know, Steve Levy, who I thought did a nice job with Monday Night Football. Come on. Ian Eagle. It's almost like he's underappreciated. And I feel like if he's on a primetime game like that, he will get the proper accolade. I don't even know if he wants to do that, but right. He needs to be on it. I love Al Michaels.
He basically said he would want, you know, he would want that gig if it was offered to him. The issue, but who knows if CBS would let him do it?
He's,
you know,
he'd probably have to. And I don't know what his contract is. I thought I read last year where they extended him.
He just resigned. Yeah.
Yeah. So you would know better. He's made for prime time. It's what we need. I'm telling you, if you don't know, even the Brooklyn Nets, I don't love the Nets. I don't like watching the Nets. I watch it specifically. You talk about watching a game because of an announcer. Ian Eagle is probably the only announcer that will make me want to watch a game that I otherwise would have no interest in.
I have a few out there. Like, I'll watch if I hear Raftery doing a game, I'll leave it on for a little bit. Marv used to make me listen. You know, if Harlan's doing an NBA game, I want to hear him. I'm not listening for 3 hours. Obviously, you know, John and Susan here in New York, I get locked in on them.
Michael K as well, I know you love.
I listen to the radio broadcast. I enjoy John and Susan. John. You know, I predicted his home run call for Anthony Rizzo would be nobody beats the Riz, and he went to it the second night.
You know, I mentioned that I was doing the warm-up show on The Fan, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. with Jerry Recco, and he was teasing me, saying, oh, would you have a call with Rizzo? I go, I don't have one, but my buddy Jimmy Traina does, and I mentioned it, nobody beats the Riz. This was before Sterling, this was before it even became a thing. So everybody liked that one, and it seems like that's been the hit here.
Highlight of my career, I must say.
you were ahead of the curve on that.
I don't have any non-sports topics for us this week. Do you have any? Do you have anything you want to say? I could give you the floor here.
No, nothing that we can talk about on the air, obviously.
Oh, okay, good. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I hope we could go out to Maureen at some point without having any issues. But no, I'm looking forward to the football season. Baseball playoffs coming up, so I'm ready for everything. Non-sports stuff, I really don't have anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, this summer's a little, I said this to you last week. It's August 4th. Get me to September 1st.
The weather in New York, though, hasn't it felt like fall this August? It's not so impressive. I like it. You walk outside, it's a nice, that kind of cool breeze.
Don't get tricked. We still got heat coming. We're not close to football yet. 5 weeks from tomorrow.
Five weeks from tomorrow, right. 5 weeks from Thursday is opening night. Once that happens, it's over. It's over for me and the wife, that's for sure. Me and you become more of a couple than my wife and I.
That is the perfect way to end this segment. I'm not saying another word. We'll see you next week. All right, that wraps it up for this week's episode of the SI Media Podcast. My thanks to Ian Eagle for a phenomenal appearance. My thanks to Sal Licata for an excellent train of thoughts. And if you missed any previous episodes of the SI Media Podcast, be sure to check them out in the archives. Brian Curtis was excellent last week. Sean McDonough recently, Chris Long, all of those in the archives. Give them a listen. If you could rate and review, that helps as well. Subscribe, rate, and review. It really does help me out a lot. All right, we'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.